Welcome to another episode of the Minute Till Six podcast. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, MH the Champ, along with my co-host, Chris Perry.
Yes, sir. Chris.PerrySR. You know who it is.
And today we got a very special guest on the phone with us, Mr. Darrell Armstrong, who just been inducted into the Hall of Fame of the Orlando Magic. Congratulations on that, brother, and we appreciate you jumping on with us today.
I appreciate it. Appreciate that.
So, D-Man, tell us a little bit how that went for you and stuff, being inducted to the Hall of Fame. I looked on your Instagram. It looked like it was a surprise to you.
Well, no, it wasn't a surprise. I always figured it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't know when. And, I knew it was going to be a lot of other guys before me, starting with Nick Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm talking about, I'm the ninth guy. I'm the ninth person, but, with players, it was only four players. And then I made the fifth one, but it was Nick Anderson, who was a first draft pick, and, Shaquille O'Neal,
mm-hmm.
Penny Hardaway, Tracy McGrady, and myself. So, I wasn't surprised, but you just never know when they're gonna give you the call to, induct you into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Man, that's a cold starting five right there, man.
Yeah, that's really.
What'd you say?
I said that's a cold starting five right there.
Yeah, somebody else said that too. It would have been nice.
Yes, especially in today's NBA where, it's a lot of small ball going on. Yeah, that fit right in.
Yeah, that's definitely. We're so shot. But when you run the floor, duck in. We're going to throw that ball to you and we're going to play off of you.
So we're going to take you back to the beginning, man. You was a 14-year NBA veteran, and you went undrafted in 95, right?
91.
Yeah, undrafted in 91, yeah.
91, yeah, okay. And when you, you played overseas some years and stuff, a lot of guys, nowadays they start off overseas and they never make that trip and come back, and start a career in the NBA. Was that always a plan for you, or how'd that come about?
Well, I mean, your plan is always to get to the NBA first.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to get in somebody's summer camp. That way you can play against the free agents and the guys who got drafted that year and go from there. But, it's just so much when, especially for me being a black college Division II player, not being drafted. And, I might have to go a different route than what everybody else is going to have to go through. And that's what I did. But, my first tryout, I tried out for the Global Basketball Association, the new league there. And I was in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and got drafted out of that league to the Raleigh Bullfrogs. Coach Monty Powell, who used to play for NC State, he was the coach there. So, and we had, what was crazy, when I first went to my first camp ever, we had Chuck Nevitt, who played for NC State and played in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
We had Chris Cortiani, who played for NC State. So they mostly had a lot of the guys who wasn't in the NBA or wasn't overseas. Most of the guys who played up in the area of North Carolina State,
mm-hmm.
they had them. And then we also had Renzo Charles, so rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
He played at NC State. He won, who made the dunk in the national championship game against the Houston Cougars that year. So we had a lot of players from the area, but also a lot of players that was big names.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget my first day going up to Raleigh from Fayetteville. Magic Johnson announced he's retiring from the NBA because he had AIDS.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was my first. Wow. That was my first day. But the next day, we go on our first practice. Chuck Nevitt is not there, And I'm like, where's Chuck Nevedek? I thought he was with us. And the guy was like, oh, Chuck got picked up by, he got a call up from the Lakers to play with them. And I'm like,
oh, wow,
this is how this thing works. You know?
Right.
So that was that's my first 2 days of any kind of semi-pro ball or pro ball.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was my first introduction into this is how this thing gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're playing well, if you're well known, you know, teams with injuries will have a chance to pick you up. So it just made me push more.
Gotcha.
All right.
And then you get picked up by the Orlando Magic, and that happened in 95, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was in Spain. I was in Spain, and I played in the ACB. That's where I beat a Sabonis at that time. He was in the ACB.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Curry was in the ACB, and we had those two who came to the NBA next year. And so I led the league in scoring. I led the league in scoring against the great Oscar Smith, who's now he's in the Hall of Fame. He's the great scorer for Brazil. He used to beat up on our Olympic guys, our college Olympic guys.
Right. Before that 92 team.
Right, you know. Yeah. So we ain't been beat up too much more after that. But, I led the league in scoring in my last game of the season. I got the call from my agent.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt strange. That call felt strange because he usually don't call me that time of the day. And we 6 hours ahead of the United States. And he called me at that time. I was over there playing Nintendo NBA Jam. Crazy.
Classic.
Waiting for our last game. Yeah. And I don't play basketball games a lot, you know, when it comes to computer games. I always play Madden.
Yeah.
That day I was playing NBA game. I was playing with the Golden State Warriors, Latrell Sprewell and the other. But he called me. Yeah. He called me and like, when you leaving? I was like, shit, I'm trying to leave after the game. You know, I'm trying to leave the next day.
Uh-huh.
I told him, I said, I checked flights, but I didn't check first class, but I checked flights and they have nothing. So I'm going to have to wait. He said, you got to get out of there. I was like, what's up, though? And he was like, yo, it's an 80% chance you're going to sign with Orlando Magic tomorrow.
Mm.
And I was like, really? And the timing was perfect because we were supposed to play Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But we ended up playing Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the call Friday. And the next day, after the game, I had like 38 and 8 threes. 8 assists. I was balling.
Oh,
I was very excited.
Yeah.
And we had a team dinner after the game, and I'm like, man, I don't want to go to this damn team dinner. I gotta go try to catch this call.
Get out of here.
Went to the team dinner. I couldn't eat. I picked up my food. They was like, yo, y'all good to go? Y'all good to go? Shot out of that, ran home. Back to my house, chilling. And I got a call from my agent. He's like, congratulations. I thought he was, be honest with you, I thought he was really talking about the game that I just played.
Yeah.
Right. And he said, congratulations. I said, thank you. He said, you're an official member of Orlando Magic. I was like, what? He's like, yeah. He said, you got to get to the airport. And I had to drive like to San Diego, Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like two hours drive away. That was close to the airport from us. So I got the family cab driver. They took me in the car. They took me down there. They were driving. They drove. I didn't think I was gonna make it by the way they were driving. I get there, they were driving. So I get there. I leave my luggage in them. I go inside, and
somebody going to the ship.
I like to sit on the balcony when I'm talking. Look at the sky. And if I was inside my apartment, you could still hear them.
Yeah, that's
So, but so I, you know, I go inside, go to the counter. I was like, do you have a ticket for Daryl Armstrong? She's like, will your ID? I was like, yeah, yeah. Gave him my ID. She's like, you got luggage? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, go get your luggage. I was like, oh, shit. This is really happening. Go get my luggage. Come back in. Get my luggage on there. They wait. Boom, boom. First class ticket. I go back out and give the family a hug. Tell them thank you. And go back in and check in. And man, I'm flying. And like, I'm in a buzz. I mean, I'm in a buzz right now.
Man,
like,
I imagine.
This really happened.
So the whole way there, you're kind of like waiting for something to go wrong.
When I was on that plane, I know what's happening. When you come to doing the NBA, when they call you and they say, yeah, and your ticket is at the gate, oh, there's no mistake. I ain't waiting for nothing. I'm over there thinking, man, I'm about to be on this court with Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
You know, Penny all the way. Well, I know the Penny was hurt. Nick Adams was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I'm like sitting here. So I got to fly and make a connection. I don't know where we had to go. It was somewhere. And then we connected to New York. Got to New York. I had to take a small plane.
Mm-hmm.
And before I took off, I called my mom and I told her, you know, she told me to call her before I came home. So I was trying to surprise her. I said, Mom, you know, I'm in New York. She said, boy, didn't I tell you to call me? I said, yeah, but. I said, I ain't coming home, though. He's like, what you talking about? I said, I just signed with Orlando Magic. She starts screaming. My stepdad gets the phone. She just drops the phone like a second of chocolate. You know, coming to America. And so my stepdad picked up the phone. He's like, what would you say to your mama? I said, I told her I signed with Orlando. I signed with Orlando Magic. Boy, stop lying. I said, nah, for real. I'm on my way to Philly to meet the team. So I get there. And as soon as I got the plane, I got John Gabriel, the GM. He was the one who saw me in a USBL and wanted me to come in and go to summer camp with the team, and I did. So I do that, and I meet him, and I'm doing a radio interview. And after the radio interview, we get our bags, we take off in a cab. It's already like six something right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we take off in the cab. We gotta go to the Spectrum Stadium with a great Rocky and Apollo, all that. You know,
that's how I do that stuff.
So I get in there, and first player I met was Shaquille O'Neal and Horace Grant. And I say, damn, these boys right here. I was like, I didn't see this type of player at Black College, boy. Wait a minute. So
So I
meet Brian Hill, the head coach. He's in there right on the board, and I can see all the jerseys, and like I'm like, oh my god, this is really happening right now. Like I'm in this thing. All the time to work to get into the NBA, and then when I turned the corner and I saw my name on the back of my jersey, Armstrong, and it had the same number I had over in Spain, number 10. I was like, wow, this is crazy, but. Then I had to go right across the street to Veterans Stadium to sign my contract. I signed the remainder of the year, last 13 games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I went over there, signed it, and had a witness. And I look over there, and it's at the football center. I'm like, actually, I said, it's a jail cell down here? She said, yeah. Philadelphia fans are rallying. So I signed it, had a witness, walk right back across the street, and go back, get dressed, and go out on the floor. And my agent and everybody had been waiting there. And the lights was bright, but the lights wasn't too bright for me because I was ready to take on that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Time to go to work.
Wow, that's epic,
man. Time to go to work.
So you said there was a jail cell under the Philly Stadium.
Oh, yeah. No, it's right there. Yeah, Philly fans is rallying. They about their team. You see, with Michael Irvin got hurt and he got took out on the stretcher, they don't care. They cheered. They get him out of here. You know, that's Philly fans. They booed Santa Claus. They booed Destiny Child. When Philadelphia played in the NBA Finals with the Lakers, Destiny Child performed. And two of them had on the Lakers outfit, and one of them had on Philly. They booed him.
That's too much.
Look up. They booed him.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
You in Philly? Yeah, you in Philly. You don't do that. Mm-mm.
Too many.
That was Philly fans. Yeah. Too many. Even if two of them would have had on, if two other Destiny Child would have had on Philadelphia, and one of them still would have had on the Lakers, they still gonna boo them.
Still gonna boo them.
That's what I'm feeling.
That's funny. Yeah, I've been in Philly one time, and I could tell, man, they serious about their teams out there. You don't mess with them.
They serious about their team.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Quick question, man.
I'm just curious.
At any point, because I mean, you made a transition from player to coach fairly fast. It was one year off, correct?
No, right. I was trying to play my 15th year, and I even went out. I had a chance to go into the camp, but I didn't want to do it. It was with Milwaukee. Scott Skiles was the coach, but it was non-guaranteed. Mm-hmm. But I was just going to say, you know what, I'll sit back and wait and see if, you know, later on in the year or something, if something's wrong. But did, but, you know, I didn't realize by me taking that time off, I wasn't working out. My body was so tired, and your body always going to let you know. You hear a lot of players say, your body going to tell you when it's time to quit. And my body told me in that workout, right before, 2 days before Christmas, my body told me in that workout, they had to sign a player. It was six of us. Damon Stoudemire was there. One of my old teammates, Troy Hudson, was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't move. I'm not going to lie to you. I couldn't move. Mm. It was December the 20th. 23rd, and I just couldn't move, man. And so my body had already just told me. So when I left that workout, I called my ex-wife, and I told her, I said, I'm done. And I called my agent, thank him, called Ben Wallace, Bo Outlaw, guys who were, you know, close to me and who I always loved. But my body told me, and that was it.
So it was no fighting it or anything. And you were 39 at that point.
I was 40.
You're 40. Okay. Cause you said trying to be 15th year. That's right.
I was 40. Yeah, I played from age 26 to 40 in the league, and like I say, it just that body was torn up. You know, it was older, and you can't keep beating up on this body. You need this body later on in life still. So, I just did that, and after Christmas, relaxed a little bit. I got a call from my agent saying that they might want you to come to Dallas and hook up with Dallas, and that's what I did.
That's
awesome. What's up. That was January the 10th.
January 10th. Let me take you back real quick. I'll go back to your playing career. In 99, you were – I wasn't able to fact check this, but – I know you had to be one of the first, if not the only, I know you few, most improved player of the year and sixth man of the year in the same season.
Yeah, that's the only time in the history of the NBA that anybody ever done that. And I came off a rotator cuff surgery, and that was the year we played 50 games, and we were playing three games back to back to back. We had to rush and get some games in, and so I came off. Be honest with you, and I think the lockout helped me gave my shoulder a chance to get stronger. And when I came out and played from there in January, oh my God, I was on. It was on.
Yeah, because you averaged 16 off the bench that year.
I averaged 14 off the bench that year. I was 13.7 off the bench. I always like to round it off. Put that 14 on there.
It got rounded. You deserve it, man. Yeah. You deserve it. I got to ask you about this, Dale. You know, nowadays with social media and stuff, and, you know, I actually go – relook this up too and see what happened. But you know, nowadays with social media, they just put stuff out there and, you know, they make jokes about it, about things and stuff. And you got a famous video of you in the dunk contest. And when I look, when I look back at it, I was like, yeah, well, I don't ever remember it being that bad. But how they make it look on social media, it's like you just went up for a layup.
and the crazy part, man, I never came in the first or second place in a dunk contest ever in my career.
Yeah.
What happened was I never had to do, and this when the NBA was trying to change the dunk contest rules, and this was the first year of it.
Yeah.
Where they say you had to do 3 dunks in 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Oh wow.
They were setting me up for failure.
Yeah.
Right there.
Man.
I'm sitting here like, wait a minute. I don't even think
a lot of people this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I see a lot of people didn't understand. A lot of people don't know that was a new rule they put in for us.
Right.
3 dunks in 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I always used to like to run. I used to love to go all the way back like a high jumper and feel my jump. Because I always felt like I just jumped higher when I ran like that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it. Let me tell you, first of all, I cried like a little baby that night. I didn't go out. My little feelings was hurt. But the thing I didn't realize is that I was so tired because I made my first dunk. I missed the second one dunk. That was probably the most important one. I missed that second dunk.
Yeah.
And then, because if I made that second dunk, I could have rested up, sat it down. Yeah. I could have waited 30 seconds. And
right.
Then did the next dunk. But so I was over there just trying dunks. once I missed about that third or fourth dunk, I was done. But I didn't realize, you know, I ran and came up again, and then I just like, shit, I ain't gonna make it. I just happened to flip the ball up, not thinking. It's gonna be one of the famous things that they say in a dunk contest. And
right.
Made the layup.
Yeah.
And made the damn layup. You know, when I make the layup, I just walk off. I'm dead. I'm walking off. I don't even look back.
It ain't no social media and nothing at this time. So you know, you could have known it was gonna blow up like that. Years later, you can go back and watch it and replay it.
No, it ain't no social media, and you know, for me, I sometimes read the blog, and
uh-huh.
I know it's a lot. It's a lot of dumb apps. It's a lot of dumb fans out here. It is.
Yeah,
he gonna be remember. All he gonna be remember is making a layup in a dunk contest. First of all, hold on.
There's
a lot of dunk contest. There's a lot of dunk contest winners. They haven't even played 5 years in this league.
Exactly.
Y'all can have that layup. And when I look back at it, it really was funny. I didn't realize what I did.
But
you know, that day I always said, I ain't gonna never forget. I was doing an interview in the next morning, and I was like, you know what? To myself, I just couldn't wait for my turn. I said, I'm gonna show this whole damn world.
Mm-hmm.
I can play ball. You know, people think because you can't dunk, they don't think you can play.
Yeah, you can't hoop.
And then people think because you can dunk, you can play.
Right.
Nah, it's not like that. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. And so my thing was, I was steaming. I said, I can't wait to get the opportunity to show people around the world what type of game I got. You know where I got my career high at?
Where's that at?
End game winner. In San Antonio, 35. I had 35 game winners. I was playing with New Orleans my first year after I left on Orlando,
mm-hmm.
And we didn't have Byron Davis. Yeah, 03-04. Byron Davis was out that game. David Wesley was out. PJ Brown got hurt. Jamal Mashburn was out. We were playing with role players like. All our role players, even David West was out. And, man, I went nuts in that thing. I hit almost a full court shot at halftime. This was my game that night. Then the second half, I came out and I that memory always stayed in my mind. Mm-hmm. That I'm sorry, San Antonio, you're gonna have to pay for this. It's the Spurs, you're gonna have to pay for this.
Uh-huh.
I know y'all was just hosting it, but y'all gonna have to pay for this. And I come down, I ain't gonna never forget Tim Duncan hit a shot. And this is Steve Smith last game back in San Antonio, because he had won a championship with him the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And we won to win this game for Smitty. And I come down, first Tim Duncan hit a shot with 8 seconds to go. You know, we didn't have no timeout. They up one. I come down and get the ball. Tony Parker is guarding me. And the first thing, when you playing against a guard, you got to always, in a pick and roll, you never let a guard see your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You never let a guard see you trying to think where the screen is coming from. So I was acting like I was going to the left. I hit him with a crossover. He was still over there eating popcorn. I come up at a three-pointer. I come up on a three-pointer, and Tim Duncan saw that I already beat him. I come up on a three-pointer. I got a chance to look at the goal, and I just hit the shot, the three. Hit all net. We ended up winning that game by 2 points. And Tony Parker is still over there eating popcorn. I ain't going to lie to you. He still like eating popcorn. Tony Parker was a bad boy. So let me go and get that straight. He was a bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bad boy.
Yeah, so that's why I say this game has been fun. It's been great for me. I mean, I just enjoyed the competition. You know, I mean, I always took little stuff like that from making me better, you know. For me, not a season in the dunk contest.
Mm-hmm.
Me having a shit for 2 years and waiting, but have to get better. Have to continue to work, lead, stay in the gym early and late. So I had to do all those things to give me my opportunity to maybe get a chance to just to shine, and I've done that. And, you know, 14 years later, you know, I retired from the NBA. So I can't ask for nothing more, nothing less, because it's been a blessing just to even step my foot into this game and go against some of the best competition in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's identities you guys took on in Orlando after Shaq. If you lost Shaq and Penny, the Harden Hustle team. Can we talk about that? What was your mindset at that time? Because you guys were dogs. I know in that first year you fell short at 41-41, you missed the playoff by a game. But you guys made a real push with that team, like you said, with Bo, Ben, yourself. Can we talk about the Harden Hustle, Orlando Magic?
Well, that team was special. I mean, that even when I was doing my speech the other day, that was the thing that made me cry while I was speaking, because of that team. Because, you know, we was we just lost Penny. We traded Penny to Phoenix that all season. Mm-hmm. We didn't have no Nick Anderson. We didn't have no Horace Grant, I don't think. And we basically were just reforming our team, rebuilding our team. And I remember we got Ben Wallace. We had Chucky Atkins his first year.
Uh-huh.
And Bo Outlaw still was with us. And, you know, I ain't going to never forget, I had a talk with one of our guys in the weight room. And he found out that the trade went through with Penny. And he was like, man, how are we going to win? And he was one of my hard-playing guys the year before with us. And he was a rookie coming off his rookie year. He was like, how are we going to win? I said, yo, we're going to win, man. I said, we're going to win. Trust me. You believe me? No, man, we don't trade it everybody. Penny, Harz, I don't know. Everybody's going. I said, we're going to win, man. And one thing I knew I had, and I found out more when I got Ben and started seeing Ben play, because Ben Wallace became Ben Wallace in Orlando.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that year I seen Ben Wallace. I seen Ben Wallace put some people in the basket, and when I'm talking about block shots, ain't nothing easy here. He's from the same black college, CIAA conference that I'm from, and he went to Virginia Union, and I went to Fayetteville State. He went with Charles Oakley. Charles Oakley went to Virginia Union. Rick Mahorn went to Hampton. Flip Murray went to Shaw. You know, so the list keeps going on and on. And so for me, I became the leader. And I, you know what, and I didn't know I was going to become the leader, but I took on that challenge. Mm-hmm. And I was ready for it. I mean, I couldn't wait to leave. And because, you know, when you leave by example first. And then it's easy to be vocal and talk to guys and, you know, get them to going where you need to get them going because they'll listen to you. But, mm-hmm. you know, by Thanksgiving, we had the league talking. Mm-hmm. The league was talking about, Orlando is, playing with a lot of unknown players. And I just came out. Hello.
Well, you got it hot over there where you at.
Yeah, I'm right downtown. I'm right downtown Dallas. Sometimes right. I just bow my head and say a prayer. You never know. But right. At Thanksgiving, people were talking about it. We just beat Charlotte. Ben mm-hmm. Wallace came off a monster game, 16 rebounds, 6 block shots, 6 points, and he was playing against some good-ass players.
Uh-huh.
But, we didn't have enough scoring, but we found a way to also win games. Excuse me. Even at 41 and 41, I remember we had like 2-10 game losing streak in that season. But we found a way to get to the last 2 games of the season. We need both games. And this game is, if we win, we end, no matter what. And it's at home. We plan to get unbelievable talent. Milwaukee Bucks team, Sam Cassell, Ray Allen,
yeah.
Glenn Robinson. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah, Ben Baker on the team.
I don't even know if Ben was on there, but add him on there. Ben, make it sound. They had a squad. And I just remember talking to Linda Cohn that day on ESPN, like over the phone, like, this is a big game for y'all. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I didn't come out with a big game at that time. But we had our reserves. They were so more experienced at that time that we came back and got back in the game. And then finally I got going a little bit. But we had a shot at the bucket. Chucky Atkins had a look, 4-3, because we were down 2. And somehow the ball got knocked down the floor, and they ended up winning the game. But the crowd, that crowd that night was unbelievable for us. I never saw that crowd like that until my first year when I signed with them, and it was the NBA Finals that they was going that nuts because they took on that heart and hustle attitude. A city, right. Our backs against the wall, people, And it was beautiful because the fans really fell in love with the way we played.
Right.
I mean, even in that season, let me make this point right here. So Penny, first game back, we playing on TNT, and we get the game close. We end up losing a close game by like 2 points or 4, and we balled out. Everybody balled out tonight. We made a trade during the game and don't even know it. We traded like 5 guys. So not only did we trade 5 guys, and we lost on TNT. Now we got to leave. We got to leave that night and go to New York and play the Knicks, and they loaded the trail
right.
Three
yeah.
out of Houston. They loaded all of them. Grandma Ma, what's her name? Grandma Ma.
Yeah, Grandma Ma.
I don't know. Not Stark, but who from Dallas? Grandma Ma. You know what I'm talking about? Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson. But and they got a squad. I mean, they loaded. Charlie Wood, all them guys. So we go up there and play them. We got 8 guys on the flight. That's all we got is 8 guys.
Wow.
Make a long story short, we blew them out by 20. And the most enjoyable thing about that, because I love New York fans, they booed. They boo their own team. They boo. And I will never forget that. But that was our type of team we had.
Right.
We had that with that heart and hustle. And Nick Van Ansel, he stays in Dallas, and we play a golf a little bit sometimes. But Nick Van Ansel said, he was playing for the Nuggets. He said, Daryl, you remember when y'all played us, man? And the score was tied at halftime and y'all came out the second half. And about 5 minutes, we was down 20. I said, yeah, I remember that game. Because their coach said something to the reporter saying none of our guys could start for him. I ain't gonna never forget walking off the floor, walking in the locker room, and that guy's grabbing me and was like, hey, Daryl, you heard what what's called the coach said about our team? I said, nah, what was going on? He said, none of our players could start for him. I said, okay. And so even that, like I said, and Nick Van Elsen can remember that game. That was impressive to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the game, I never forget this. We got a break. We got a steal. And somebody threw it to Chuck Atkins. He was already down the floor and right in front of that bench. And I was putting it in their face. I ain't going to lie to you. They could have put it down. I ain't going to damn. I was putting it in the face because of what their coach said.
Right.
And when he caught the ball, I said, bounce it. And he heard me. He bounced that mug. And it's on YouTube. You go on YouTube. He bounced that mug. And I caught that mug with one hand. And boom. Talk shit on that right there now. Look dead at their coach. But, I mean, that's always some great moments because that city still talking about that team to this day.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel proud. I'm not gonna lie to you. It made me feel proud that city is almost talking about that team like it's a championship team.
Right. Right.
Wow.
And you led the way on that team too.
And I had some guys to pick a play.
Yeah. And then was it the next year where T Mac came along?
Yeah, T Mac came and Grant Hill.
And Grant Hill, yeah, Grant Hill, he sure did. But Grant Hill, he had injuries that year, though, right?
Yeah, he had his ankle going on, and saw him last night at the game in Atlanta. So he's doing good. You know, he's like a co-owner of. Got a little piece with the Hawks, but he came in, and then Tracy came in, and probably the best thing for Tracy was that when Grant was hurt, Tracy took advantage of the opportunity to bring that team on, right? You know, for itself, you know,
right.
A superstar, and
right.
he was amazing. You know, he was amazing. He came into his own and developed because you know a lot of people don't remember when Tracy left. Toronto, he could score. He was only averaging 14, 15 points.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
he was a defender. You know,
yep.
He could defend.
Yep.
And so when we got him, he became, you know, he became that offensive machine. I ain't going to never forget. He used to always try to sleep. He used to sleep before the games on the training table. He'd get some hot packs, lay down, and go to sleep, you know. So we had this was my coach right here, one of our assistant coaches named Johnny Davis. He won a championship. Well, the only championship Portland Trail Blazers got, he won a championship with him as a star point guard, star two guard,
mm-hmm.
one of those two. But Johnny Davis was one of the best motivators, one of the best creators, man. I mean, we just finished shooting before the game. He said, "D.A., he used to call me Captain. Hey, Captain, come with me. All right, come on." I said, "Where we going?" He's like, "Come on. You'll see." So Tracy wasn't shooting before the game at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny went over there, got him, woke him up. He was like, "Come with me, young fella. Come on. You got to get some shots up." And, you know, giving Tracy honor, he, you know, all right, you know, instead of fighting coach, he was like, "All right, coach, all right, let's go." Mm-hmm. He got up, went out there, and from there, you could just see the ability coming more and more, confidence mm-hmm. coming more and more. This boy was incredible, man. He can hit shots on guys. I don't give a damn if you play good defense or what. Or he can go by you. He was so long.
Yeah.
The stuff he used to do, I'd be like, dang, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, but he was well, well deserving to be in the Hall of Fame. And I was happy for him and his family because, you know, nobody, you know, a lot of these kids, when you looking at a superstar, you looking at a guy that you is your hero, you need to go do the research on the player.
Mm-hmm.
See where he came from.
Yeah. Right.
What he came from. where he came from, how he got there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't even know. I worked in a yarn factory. I worked in a yarn factory as I was trying to get in the NBA. You know,
yeah.
I had to go stop my career and cook yarn because I couldn't find another job. And then until the USBL came back, that's when I took on and started making a name and got better and got and put in good positions to make a name for myself and get in the NBA camps and things like that. So a lot of people don't understand that and don't know that. So I, you know, I never forget when I played with Orlando, the great Dr. J. Great Dr. J told me, to make sure you learn your history. Know your history about this game. And happy birthday. Happy belated birthday to him.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's one of the most coolest guys and meant so much to this game. I used to always think he was Billy D. Williams of basketball. You know, he was that smooth, you know. So
yeah.
That was always a good guy to always talk to. And you know, I love that guy to death because, you know, he gave me knowledge. The knowledge that the guys need to know today. Learn your history.
Just like
learning history in your history book. Learn your history of basketball, especially when you're playing this game. So it's always great.
For sure.
Quick, I want to jump to your championship as a coach. I mean, you started coaching with the Mavericks in 2009. You guys won the championship in 11. So you was there for those first couple of years where you guys were building that thing up. Can you compare the team now to that time? Do you feel that same energy where it's headed towards championship contention?
We challenged it. I don't want to give our guys that type of knowledge right now because sometimes you're gonna have to go through a lot to get where you want to go. But if it happens. Hallelujah. But, you know.
It's a process.
You know what I'm saying? But, it's a process. It's just like, you know. Michael Jordan had to go through Boston, had to go through Detroit. And Detroit was one of his limits that he had to really go through to get to where he wanted to get to. But when he got there, he finished it off with three in a row, left the game and came back and got another three. But at the end of the day, it's a process, and you know, they still all our guys are still learning each other, and that's a good thing, and it's good because we win it, but we still learning each other. We're still trying to figure each other out. The communication, the talk. So,
I wasn't speaking as far as like as this year. Do you feel like y'all a championship or bust this year? But I'm saying that you know when you got there in 2009. You guys weren't a championship team yet, you know, but you were building this thing. You were learning each other. I'm just wondering if you feel like this is the beginning steps of that all over again.
Well, I mean, it was moves made. We brought Sean Marion. We had other guys, Brandon Haywood. We made a trade, Brandon Haywood, Kareem, Karan Butler, LaShawn Stevens. And then, you know, they weren't even in the mix until, that year.
Yeah, Deshaun Stevens, he's from our hometown, Fresno.
Yeah, that's my man. That's who when he came here, that's who I worked out before the games and everything. So Deshaun, he also stay in Orlando as well now.
Sure do. Deshaun's a good guy.
That's my man. There. But I mean, so it took a lot of things to bring that team together with trades and free agency and. You know, we got Tyson Chandler. You know, we had Jason Kidd was already there. And,
yeah.
You know, so, but once you get to know each other and develop a good chemistry, then you can say, okay, we got a chance.
We got something. Yeah.
And that's what happened. You know, and it started. You know, the superstar was Dirk Nowitzki, but it started with a smart and tough point guard that we had was Jay Kidd.
Yeah.
And then we also had a scoring guard coming off the bench named Jason Terry.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of stuff put together that was nice. You know, and we had a superstar, MVP. certain mm-hmm. whiskey. So, I mean, that team was, oh, my God. And, you know, it was put together the right way. And they connected and came together at the right time when the playoffs start.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that was beautiful to watch. I'm not going to lie to you. It was beautiful to watch because you just saw good basketball.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, because y'all were, to the public, you guys were underdogs, you know, going against Miami Heat that year. And, you know, the big three, LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosh. It was like, you know, and I'm a big LeBron guy, and I was like, oh, we got this locked up. And to see, mm-hmm. like, what you guys did and how you did, it was, like, it was masterful. It was, you know, the schemes of how to defend them and, you know, how Dirk played was just, it was video game, like.
Right, yeah, and you know, we always gonna, you're going to be picked to be underdogs when they got three all-stars on their team. You know, I always felt like LeBron was a company. You know, you call yourself a king, you don't leave your home. You don't leave your throne.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. he wasn't comfortable that year. You know, when the last time you seen LeBron James score 8 points in an NBA final game? He held him 8 points one time in the game.
Right, right.
So that was the Wayne Wade game. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? I always tell people that.
Mm-hmm.
A king don't leave his throne.
Mm.
Okay? A king is a king for a reason. That. You know what I'm saying? So
I
that was Dwayne. It took Dwayne Wade to say to the media, "This is LeBron team next year." That was LeBron team. That's when LeBron started playing as himself. But you know, we did a good job of packing it in. We made them play against our zone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we just figured out ways of how to minimize his touches or his shots. And keeping them out of the paint.
Because
it's two guys on that team. They stole the ball, and they got that ball in the transition. You know, if you're not in the penalty, you better foul them. Foul them before they get the because Dwayne Wade and LeBron James is going to score that bucket.
They run it
if you don't, and they run it. But we just did a good job against them. And you can see it. All the games are going to be close, tight. It was a great matchup. I mean, it was just a great matchup. The games basically came down a lot. You didn't see no blowout.
Right.
And then I never forget game six. You know, we go down there, we up 3-2, and, you know, everybody wore black that night. You know, we did the same thing they did to us when I played here in the championship year of 2006. We found out that all they guys wore black to the game to mm-hmm. finish us off, you know. So what we do the same thing they did. Game six, nice. We wore all black. So, yeah, I mean, it's an edge about yourself in this game. You got to have an edge about yourself.
Yeah.
The team got to have an edge, you know. So what we do the same thing. Y'all remember that? Everybody wear black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And all our guys came in black. And I'll never forget Dirk got in foul trouble early. And Jason Terry got off the bench. And JT looked at me. He said, "I got this, D.A." He said, "I got this." And, man, he had like 18, 20. He kept us in the game in the first half because he had like 18 to 20. And then mm-hmm. Dirk got going in the second half. And, man, I'm telling you, it's probably one of the most beautiful and grateful feelings to ever have to win a championship and have to stand there knowing it's about to happen. And you see all their fans leaving. And you see our crowd right there sitting. All you see is blue.
Yeah.
Everybody's going crazy. You know, everybody mm-hmm. remember 2006. You know, and
mm-hmm. –
So to win it and be out there, man, it was amazing. You know, see Dirk when we won it, he jumped the table and running the back in disbelief and can't believe it. And, y'all, it's one of the best feelings I ever had besides getting into the NBA.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the best feelings I ever had because, I mean, you can't write that. I mean, it's
right.
special. It's a very special feeling when a team win a championship.
Especially
right. when you playing, you know.
Against a team like
playing,
that.
Against a team like that, you're playing 100. I mean, you're playing over an 82-game season, and then you got to go into the playoffs, and you got a long year, and you come mm-hmm. up with that championship. It's amazing. And it's hard to describe, but that feeling is an unbelievable feeling, and you're on sky nine. You're on cloud nine.
Can't nothing bring you down. Can't nothing bring you down.
I was in there kissing ladies I didn't know. Hey, man. I was at the club kissing like that. Yeah, but it was great. It
was great. And DA, man, you even throughout your career in this podcast, you mentioned you've been around and you played against a lot of all-time great players and all-time great, you know, personalities and everything. Put you on the spot a little bit. Who would you consider your favorite teammate of all time?
I thought
somebody replied, MJ. That's that quick, huh?
And then I can't, you know, I'm not going to disrespect Bill Russell. You win 11 championships. I don't care who you're playing against. You win 11 championships and you won one of them as a coach, player coach. I can't disrespect. And then everybody else out there, pick up the piece.
You win a straight to MJ. Period. I like that.
Yeah,
I respect that.
We got that question out of the way already.
Yeah, so we know not to ask that.
I told you. When you're a king, you don't leave your throne. You make them come to you.
Man, oh man. So
he's gonna still go down as one of the all time greats. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Right.
But
right.
MJ is the greatest.
Mm-hmm. And now, because I had another question. I'm going to switch my question up a little bit. But I had a question about MJ. You played in the era of MJ. Do you have any stories of you playing against MJ or, you know, interactions with him?
Oh, man. I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you two of them. I'm going to give you the first one real quick. The second one, it's not long, but it's kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be playing them that same year. We go to the NBA Finals. We had to play them in the semifinals, I think it was. And that was his first year back. So okay, I'm gonna give you the first one. So we playing him. He's ran number 45.
Mm-hmm.
That's the game one. And Nick Anderson stole the ball from behind and.
Yep.
Penny got it, dribbled down, threw it to Horace Grant. That's also Horace Grant first year leading Chicago because he won three championships in Chicago.
Yep.
So Horace dunked it, we ended up winning the game. So game two, they called the Chicago Bulls lineup out. They called Michael Jordan, win number 45 for the University of Ohio, you know, Michael Jordan. And he kept his top on. He didn't have his warm-up on. He kept his top on. You can see what number he had on. And so they called our star line up. And something told me to keep watching. I always idolized him. I mean, he was one of my famous guys to watch coming up.
Right.
So he come out of the huddle. Both teams walking to the court. He break out of the huddle. He take off this jacket he had on number 23. I said, oh, Lord, we about to lose. We about to lose. We lost that game.
He hit it from y'all.
Oh my God, he lost the game. He and I wearing that number for the rest of the series. They got fined every time he wore that number. They got fined $200,000. The team did for the rest of the series. But he and I went. But they won that game, pushed it to 1-1, and we had to go in Chicago, and then we kind of took over the series, I guess. But that was probably one of the best moments I've seen in my first year. When I saw 2-3, I said, "Holy Lord, we
it's over. It's over."
The man is busted out of the building. Oh my God! And then the other one was in that same series we planned, and I told the story. I think it's on Michael Jordan to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a suit. I'm not dressed for the game because, you know, back in the day, I was just getting that to the team. So when the roster is set, it's set. So
right.
I'm just sitting there on the sideline. You know, I'm almost like I'm acting like I'm watching on TV, like I'm still in college. He steals the ball. I jump up. You can see it on it's clear daylight. I jump up like, oh, sh-. And then I forgot where I was at. I was like, shit. He go in there, wag that tongue and lean and do that sideways dunk. I'm like, damn, I forgot what I was cheering almost for. Yeah. I almost forgot. You went to Orlando Magic, boy. What you doing?
Turned into a fan.
Oh, right. My God. Oh, my God. Because that's all I watched growing up. That's who I watched. I watched him from the blue and white game of the North Carolina Tar Heels when he was the freshman game.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that blue and white game, and I never forget when Dean Smith was calling the full corner. They used to play it on. It was a station called Jefferson Palace Station, and it used to be the ATC station. And they used to play it on there. They put the blue and white game on there. I was watching. I'm a big Tar Heel fan. And
me too.
Every time you're a big Tar Heel fan. Every
yes, sir.
Time, Dean Smith would talk.
I'm sorry to hear that for y'all, man. I had to interrupt. I'm sorry to hear y'all Tar Heel fans. Go ahead, D.
As soon as I finish this, I'm going to find out. You better not be no Duke fan. So Dean Smith kept saying four corners. So Mike will break it. He'll do the four corners for a second, then he'll break it and go dunk it. And the crowd, the announcer kept saying, "I guess he don't know what the four corners means." So I never forget that. I used to love that about him. And that's the same year Tar Heels won the national championship with MJ, playing with my homeboy. James Worthy from my hometown. And we went to the same high school. So, hitting that shot was unbelievable. That should have told everybody about him as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
That he was ready to take that shot.
Right.
And it was like what Rick James used to say. That shot was cold as ice.
Yeah, cool dude.
But Darryl, I'm gonna tell you right now, he is a Duke fan. I'm gonna just put it out there.
Yeah, forgive him.
You know, man, it's how can you not appreciate greatness, man? That's all it is.
Hey,
we do appreciate greatness. That's why we are just, Carolina fans.
Hey. Yeah, we got six championships, so they got five. It's all good. But,
you know.
Guess what? Y'all remind me of this team here in Dallas called the Cowgirls. they say y'all gonna win it every year. But y'all don't.
Yeah. You gonna get in trouble. You and Dallas.
Y'all pink.
Gonna get in trouble.
Y'all, they ain't gonna do nothing to me. I got poor Ziggins. He's a Redskin fan. They hired him out right now.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Morris is a Redskins fan? Wow, how did that happen?
I pulled him in. Poor Zinger's a Redskins fan. And we just got Michael Kilchrist.
Uh-huh.
Kilchrist, he, as soon as I walk in there, first thing I walk in there, he yelled out, "D.A., I heard you was a Redskins fan." I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I'm one too." I said, "Well, welcome to the family." You know what I'm saying? I'm
<Yeah. laughs> HTTR.
Oh, man.
Yes, indeed.
And, we ain't going to hold you too much longer, man. A couple
y'all
more.
Good. Y'all good. Just
quick
question. You good.
And with back to Shaq and Penny days with them, a lot of, you know, it's a lot of people that, you know, think it was like a, you know, it was issues with them why things didn't work. I know you probably wouldn't go in detail, but was that more so just talk, or was it kind of friction that, you know, think kept y'all from winning the championship?
Nah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're young. They still young. People don't realize that. You know, I bet at that time was Horace Grant, you know, mm-hmm. for his first year over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kenny is still young. Shaq is still young. Dennis Scott, Nick Anderson, all those guys are still young. They've never been in that situation. Mm-hmm. You know, until you are thrown in that situation, and we're thrown in a situation. We're going to get some vets and young guys at the same time with Olajuwon,
yep.
Drexler. You know, Drexler and Olajuwon has been there before in the NBA Finals
yeah.
and won it.
Right.
Well, Drexler hadn't won it because Mike Jordan didn't beat him, but Olajuwon mm-hmm. had won it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Robbie Horry. They had some guys. And,
yeah.
But they I don't think they had any friction. When you're young like that, sometimes you kind of let the media or you let your boys pull you left and right.
Right.
You know, and they not pulling each other. It could be. I don't see it with Penny have a break instead of him, and he's in front of Shaq instead of him dunking it. Himself, he looks back and tells Shaq keep coming, get him the ball, and then he can pipe it. You know, mm-hmm. so I don't see that. I know it wasn't sufficient like that because at the end of the day, you know, it's about winning, and those right. guys was winning, and you know we just had some, you know, bad luck with Nick Anderson missing 4 free throws in a row, and you know you just never know what it could have been, and but for them, I mean, they just knew how to play. I just think, for me, I think Shaq was wanting to be in a bigger stage, mm-hmm. at a bigger stage. And the bigger stage was either going to be the Knicks or the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
L.A. And that's what he wanted to do movies. He wanted to be the biggest star in the NBA. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
That's what he chose. That's what he did. Hello.
No, yeah, that was you could tell that was his character, that was you know who he was. It was his personality, that big stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was definitely his character. Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, want to do big things. He was a big kid. He was a big kid having fun. You know, mm-hmm. You know, he's just coming out of college. You know, when I say that, when I call them kids, they're 19 and 20 years old.
Right.
I was always telling you're supposed to come out of college when you're 22.
Yeah.
These guys are coming out at 19. You mm-hmm. know, some of them not even coming out. They're coming out of high school. So
right.
they still be kids. They have dreams. You know, that was probably one of Shaq's dreams. I mean, you can't blame him. Look at every time you turn around on TV, a commercial, he's on it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing things that he loves to do. And I couldn't have been mad at him. I know Penny probably was upset with it, but you know, at the end of the day, you gotta keep going. You gotta find ways to do other things and. But if he would have stayed, it could have been beautiful. And if he
right.
would have stayed, I don't know if I would have played. You know, I don't mm-hmm. know what situation I would have been in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I mean, it still could have been beautiful because they was a hell of a 1-2 punch, just like him and Kobe was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I didn't never see no friction.
Right.
I was married at that time, so I'm a man who go home after practice, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. go chill, go relax, you know, I went into the street,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know too much what goes on. They both stayed in the same subdivision, you know, in Orlando. And so, I mean, you just never know. Like I say, sometimes it could be your boys pulling against each other, you know, a commercial, it could be something, it could be the media. I mean, you just never know.
Right, right.
When you're in this game, everybody wants who the superstar. That was the question. Who the superstar? Who the leader of this team?
Mm-hmm.
Who is
mm-hmm.
this? And then you that happened with Shaq and Kobe.
Yep.
You know? who, you know, the media sometimes, if you tug it back and forth of, okay, let's ask this question. Who's
right.
the leader of this team? And they put the guy around on the spot.
Yeah.
You know, but even when you're winning, you know, it's just like when you win a championship. What's the first question sometimes the guy asks you, especially as a head coach or a player? Can y'all come back next year? Now, man, I want to enjoy this shit now. Why are you asking this question now? I ain't worried about next year. You think I'm worried about next year right now?
I'm talking so
right. Think about that.
Yeah.
They ask you questions like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so those sometimes questions are tough questions and tough situations that the media might put you in. I look back at, you know, the question Gail asked, what's the name, about Kobe. And
put, right. Lisa Leslie.
Her on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, ask Lisa Leslie, you know, so Gail, if you really want to know this question, why you didn't ask Kobe when he was alive?
Right.
Why you didn't ask her this question, you know, when Kobe was alive?
Mm-hmm.
Let a man defend himself. A person defend himself. So, you know, and she got a lot of backlash off that, but I didn't agree with it. You know, don't ask that question when he's gone.
Right.
If people are mourning his death.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Y'all,
you know,
y'all had 17
the
years to ask that
to
question.
Me.
Yeah.
You had that. Don't see it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You asked R. Kelly about his stuff.
Right.
But he was
is.
There.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Nobody gave Dale grief or anything on that.
Right.
Because everybody want to know.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
But at the end of the day, that's why I say the media sometimes can be cruel when they want to.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
That's what on my brother Chris Haynes on his podcast with Jamal Crawford, he had asked him about. I forget what Jamal said. Somebody asked him, and he brought up the situation with Kyrie earlier this year about when he was like, me and KD need, you know, a few pieces or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, you have to answer the question unless you go do like Marshawn Lynch. And it's such an awkward question. It's like, regardless how you answer it, you go, you might offend somebody. And the media loves to put people in that situation.
Yeah, and for me, the NBA does a great job of training these guys, training our athletes, having meetings and showing how to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I would be like, you know, I don't feel comfortable, I don't feel comfortable answering that question.
Right.
You know, because you can't, you know, you can't put a guy in a situation or a person in a situation to ask a question when you told him what question you're going to ask him. See, that's what a lot of times they have to do. They tell you what they're going to ask you, but then they come back and hit you with that.
Right.
Out of the blue.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, you just try to answer the best way you can because you got to think about both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Something when you're doing an interview, for me, I always think about both sides of I don't want to offend anyone. You know, I thought the NBA when Kobe and his daughter got killed and all the other people, even gave the family shout out as well before the game because, you know, Kobe was the focus point. And his daughter was the focus point. But yeah, all of them was the focus point.
Right.
The NBA really made that, you know, they announced all the families that was in that crash and it was all standing up for us, a moment of silence and stuff like that. And I thought that was very classy.
Yeah.
Classy of the NBA to do that because, you know, a lot of times the superstar can overshadow everybody else death that was on there. And the NBA made sure that not only Kobe, Gigi, but all the families that was involved, was announced and was respectable on their death and stuff like that. So, you know, hats off to them again. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's about life. You start enjoying it, and you know that's why I say I try to enjoy life. I try to have a good time with these guys on and off the floor. It's just fun to be around this game. And for me, you know, it was tough. I mean, because I got a game film of me and Kobe, Martin Luther King Day in Inglewood, California, in the Forum, the old arena.
Yeah, the Forum.
He's 19 years. Yeah, 19 years old. Him and Derrick Fisher coming off the bench. Uh-huh. 19 years old. Nick Van Ness was starting, and somebody else was starting. And never forget, he made a tap in win based on in that game. I had like almost just a triple double. Chuck Daly was my head coach. Shaq uh-huh. was on that team with the Lakers, and we played at Martin Luther King Day, and he was cold as ice that day. Get two big free throws down the stretch, you know. So you know, a lot of times we tend to forget. And he meant so much to our game. I mean, for us to lose this guy even after he's gone, what he meant to our game, you know, and he's special. I mean, you got to give him that. He's special.
Yeah,
LeBron is special. Mm-hmm. You know, Jordan is special. Bill Russell is special.
Russell. Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at Bill Russell and some of the stuff. Can you imagine our guys having to go through the things that he had to go through? Can't stay in the same hotel. Can't stay in the Four Seasons hotel. Mm-hmm. He had to go stay in, you know, in Motel 6 or some mm-hmm. shit like that. Come on.
Right.
Can you imagine the stuff that they had to spend? Muhammad Ali, all of the old athletes.
Yeah,
I mean,
Kareem.
I thank God for them. Kareem, I mean, at the end of the day, they paved the way for us to have the freedom and situations that we have today, the platform that we have today. So, you know, it's just amazing. This game is, I mean, it is amazing. So much history, you know, and every sport is history, but this is an amazing sport to, you know, go through the history with. And that's why I say I thank God for telling me to learn my history. Mm-hmm. Learn my history about this game.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what, man, that's one thing I love about podcasting. And you know, it's always cool to talk to the current players, but, you know, the retired veterans, like, you guys are the ones that, you know, you're around with, like, it wasn't no social media, so, you know, the news coverage was different. And it's all these, you know, stories that you guys know about and experienced and stuff that, you know, that we don't know today. You know, I'm 32.
Yeah.
So I love and, you know, when I get to, you know, talk to you guys and stuff, and I appreciate you for taking time out your day and coming out, well, not
yes,
coming
sir.
Out, but calling and talking with us, man.
Yeah.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Thank
that's
you.
No problem, man. I definitely enjoyed it, man. Hope y'all much success, man. And if y'all want me back on the show, we'll do it again.
Yeah, definitely, because it's a couple of topics that, you know, I ain't want to interrupt you to try to argue with you about, but, you know, Duke and, you know, the LeBron stuff and, you know, so we definitely want to do this again.
Hey, first of all, I'm not both of them in the bud. I already said Duke is like this team in Texas. The cowgirl.
Yeah.
They keep the win every year and don't.
And the king don't leave
and
the throne.
I got it already above. And the king don't leave the throne.
That was a good one. I can't fight you on that one right now. That's literally probably one of the best LeBron, you know, disses I've heard. I'm gonna come ready next time. Yeah, that was a good one. I can't even front. That was a good one.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I really enjoyed it, man.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Hopefully we'll be able to do it in person, man, when come playoff time. Maybe get a Maverick-Laker playoff matchup or something here. Or the Clippers.
That sounds good.
We can catch you in L.A.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right,
yes,
that
sir.
Sounds good.
And once again, right. Y'all, this is a Minute Till 6. I'm your host, Mark Haynes. It makes the champ. And we had on, I want to thank the just recently inducted into the Orlando Magic Hall of Fame, Darrell Armstrong. Well, thank you again, brother. And
give out the hands.
My co-host.
It's Chris Perry, Chris.PerrySR. And Daryl, you want to give out your handle so everybody can go follow you?
Yeah, triple double. I'm the number 10, Armstrong, the number 10. You can find me on Instagram.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's a minute till six, and we out.